Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vinantano na pataya pitaro sutava. Nabhatri bandhu surida kuta eva chanya tasmad bhavat papadaya patita manam no nanya bhave gatir arindama tad videhi. Our husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, other relatives, and friends will no longer take us back. And how could anyone else be willing to give us shelter? Therefore, since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet and have no other destination, please, O chastiser of the enemies, grant our desire. Om Jnanatimarandasya Sananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha Sri Chaitanya manovishtam tapitam yena bhutale Shayam rupa kadamayam vidati sapadantikam Adhadarashchanandante idam yache puna puna Srimad rupa padam boja tulisham janma janmani Vairagya bhakti rusham priyatnai apayamam manabhipsumandam kripambhuhyaya paradhuka dhuki sanatanastam tabumastriyami vancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham Mayapur. I arrived yesterday in Odharya Dham, the Dham of Magnanimity, where mercy, undeserved kindness flows, which is certainly favorable for me, because if my spiritual life was dependent on my own qualification, I might as well give up now, considering my some scars, the impressions in my consciousness from my previous activities in this life and the last life and many past lives, the some scars that the impressions in my consciousness that by my birth and nature and culture want to fill me with so many things that are anartha, artha of value, anartha, that have no value to Krishna consciousness, as opposed to pious people who are born with some scars or impressions in the consciousness that give them so many things in their consciousness that are favorable to Krishna consciousness. The desire to take full shelter of others, that type of faith and authority, and the culture, so many things. So I'm very happy to be here in the shelter of Odharya Dham. Those of you that came at the beginning, we had, now it's Mayapur, so the kirtan, so we had Madanda, and I think gradually, if I'm giving these classes here, there'll be people here also, so we can have some nice kirtan. And that's why I chanted the song by Lochan Das Thakur, Parama Karuna, Bahu Dui Jana, Parama Karuna, supremely merciful, Bahu Dui Jana. There are two people that are supremely merciful. Parama Karuna. Karuna means kindness or mercy. Parama, supreme mercy. In other words, they give the highest thing to those that are the least deserving. I was just in Udupi, and I described, I would go every day to the temple. It was right nearby, very charming. And I would go to the temple, and you have to wait online, but everyone's very polite. And it generally takes about 10 minutes. And I describe, when you take darshan of the deity, in the temple room, the deity lives in a house. And you can only see the deity through one grated window. And it has 9 holes, like a grate, but it's like not, you know, they're about 4x4. You can only see the deities. And I went on Sunday and I saw the diamond darshan. The whole deity's outfit from head to toe was diamonds. And it's very nice when you come to the temple, and you're to the right is Madhava Kund. So when I was there, I was waiting on the general line, and then the junior acharya came in. Must have been about 30. You could see, you know, samskara, impressions, previous life. He was chosen to be the junior acharya. They went to his area of Karnataka, and they did an astrological search for the person who had the best chart for renunciation and spiritual life. And then at 8 years old, you know, the acharya that's the oldest now, he was made sannyas at 8 years old and was trained, you know, from that time. In fact, when they're sannyasis, I explain there's 8 mutts, 8, you know, monasteries. And every 2 years they rotate. So every 16 years, one of the acharyas, you know, becomes the, and in those 2 years, he doesn't leave the temple compound. The other 14 years, he travels. And just before he becomes the acharya for those 2 years, he travels to all the holy places in India. And so I saw this junior acharya, you know, and they're sannyasi, even though they're Vaishnavas, they don't wear sikha or you know, anything like that. It's like they're giving up, you know, everything, so to speak. So he came in and he had his assistants, and he went and he took bath, and I could see extremely pious. But as pious as he was, he doesn't have what we have by Prabhupada's mercy. You can understand how merciful Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada is. He doesn't have what we have, which is the highest understanding of the absolute truth, which is Gaura Radha Madhava, which is Radha and Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, if we take advantage of that mercy, we have such opportunity for full absorption. This Lord Chaitanya is Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna. He's the most magnificent avatar. And here in Sridhar Mayapur, you could really feel that mercy. You could really feel that mercy. And Prabhupada is establishing, out of his mercy, a major... So we couldn't come here to any of these places if Prabhupada didn't have that vision to make it suitable for us to come. You know, and so there's very nice facilities here. I'm staying every year. I stay in one. It's called Vaishnava Academy. It has about 15, 20 rooms, attached bath, you know, very nice facilities, nice veranda. And it's about 6-7 minute walk from the temple. On the east side is the Goshala, and I'm looking out. My room is on the north side from my veranda. It's just an open field. You see the Saraswati River, and right across from that river, you can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. where he had the vision of seeing the temple. And if I look out on the western side, there's a window in my room on the western side. There's a field, and then across the field, about maybe 100, 150 yards, I can see Prabhupada's samadhi. It's very nice, and it's home for me because I'm very close with the people who run it, their family. Yesterday, as I came in, I attended a birthday party for their daughter. So, okay. Anyway, there's so many things. I really want to get into the verses today, but I wanted to share with you a little bit of the mood here. One other, I think the last time I gave class, I was talking about health. I had another realization because even my health is good. It was so much better even there. You know, this one week I had a little, I don't know if you call it treatment or what, but then for 2 days I traveled because I visited one friend's ashram and then and I stayed overnight there from Udupi. Then I flew from Mangalore to Bangalore. Then I went to the ISKCON temple there. And I gave class in the evening. And so then I, you know, a few hours sleep, and then I went to Mayapur, then the car. So I had an interesting analysis of health, that health is like Shraddha or faith. Why? Because for faith, to have faith, everything has to be right. To have ashraddha or faith, one little thing has to be wrong. So it's the same thing with health. To have health, everything has to be right. And when there's one little thing wrong, there's a health. There's not health. So anyway, I'm healthy, but I could just see, just to travel, and I described that yesterday, you know, the different environment and adjusting to the different environment and the vata in the body is increased by the traveling. So it's, I had that kind of experience, but already I'm settled here in this nice place and I'm taken care of nicely. So now let's go to these, verses that we're at. And now we're up to the response of the wives of the Brahmins to Krishna. We know the nature of their husbands. We mentioned that point before, that they had so many ritualistic activities. Uri Burini, I think Burini Karmani, so many elaborate rituals. But they didn't understand that everything was coming from Krishna, including their sacrifice, their yajna, the elephants. And therefore, they couldn't even recognize Krishna, which is the goal of all their activities. So they're the example of the externals without the essence. And then you have the wives of the Brahmins. Now, the wives of the Brahmins, they're not clean. Why? Because the ladies that are listening with children, they have children. And women with children are never clean. Or it's very hard to be clean. So, yeah, and they don't know mantras. They're not educated. But due to hearing, simply hearing about Krishna with faith, simply hear it. To hear, you don't even have to be literate. And probably they weren't even literate in that type of culture. But simply by hearing about Krishna, they understood, yeah, right there. Yeah. Simply by hearing about Krishna, they understood the essence. So there was the example of people who had they had the essence, but not the externals. They had the real thing that the externals are meant to give. I thought of one story in that regard. One time, Kunji Kishori, she was working in an advertising company, and she was an administrative secretary. So she invited me to come to that thing, and it's New York City. So they have their dress down day on Friday. I guess after torturing everybody at work, then on Friday, you know, people could wear jeans or whatever it is. Someone just got on that maybe they didn't mute their phone, or maybe they can try to call again because there's a little static I'm hearing. Thank you. So I went to her place, and it was really nice. I mean, it was wonderful. Everyone was waiting to meet her guru. I guess this is unique about New York. And I went to every office, and every office she took me, you know, the senior writers and production managers, and it was really interesting. One office I came, they gave me a bouquet of flowers. I was in another office, and a man came in with gray hair. I don't know where he came. He had a banana, and he came, and he said, "Here, take some passata." And then as I walked down the hall, there was a big computer printout said, "Welcome, Hare Krishna." And by the time I got to her desk, there were 30, 40 people around the desk. So I was preaching to all of them, and then someone asked me, I hope this will be relevant and not just a story that went off on a tangent, but why do you wear those clothes? And I gave the example that it's just like a uniform, you know, like a policeman. The uniform has two purposes. It gives one a mood, and you can identify the person. So it's a facility for doing the service of law enforcement. But it's not essential. So and that's the way it is. There are rituals of religion that are facilities, and therefore they're important. But in the ultimate sense, the rituals are to serve a purpose. And in this particular example, people have the rituals, which are important, you know, to be clean and to know the mantras and et cetera. It's a great facility for spiritual life, to cultivate the mode of goodness. It's a great facility for spiritual life. But the example here is that somehow or other, due to false ego, I am a Brahmin. And when you have false ego, when you're not a devotee, and devotee means humble, then whatever facilities you have, you tend to use for yourself, and not just for your comforts, but for your ego. I am clean. I know mantras. Therefore, I am better than others. And therefore, there's always that danger. Anyway, I don't want to go so much into the story, but by these wives of the Brahmins, I go into it anyway. By hearing extensively, they cultivated the inner mood of priti for Krishna, the desire to please Krishna, which is the essence. Dharma swanushtita punsa viviksena katasya nopariye yadi ritim shrama eva tabalam. Yadi ritim, if you don't get that ritim, that taste for hearing about Krishna, Dharma swanushtita punsa viviksena, then the religion, then the activities, if the activities don't lead to that rati, to that taste for hearing about Krishna, shrama evi kevalam, then they have no value. And that's what this story illustrates. So we've come to the story, that the part of the story that this hope and this desire and this priti, this love to see Krishna was so deep in their hearts that when the cowherd boys finally came and said, "Krishna is nearby on the bank of the Jamuna with his friends," and when they heard that, because they extensively heard from about Krishna, the whole image of Krishna, which is Udipan, which is an excitement for their love for him, and their love began to rise in their hearts spontaneously, and their desire became to see Krishna, defeated the desire of their husband, their children, their relatives, for them not to see Krishna. And then spontaneously they came to see Krishna, and now we're in this very interesting part. I don't want to go over it again, although I can describe it every time, what their vision was of Krishna when he was twirling that Lila Kamala that toy lotus, like telling them that this is your heart and it's in my hand, and how they must have felt. And then, surprisingly, when they came to see Krishna, all that Krishna welcomed them, because Chakpasarva Asha, he could see Akila Dvik Drasta, he is the seer of the vision of all creatures. So he actually could see their hearts and see the extent of their desire to be with him. He could see their love. Beyond any externals, he sees the heart of the devotee, and he can see their devotion and love, and he was so pleased that he welcomed them, pleased, he acknowledged their love. He asked, what can I do for you? He expressed his willingness to reciprocate their love. Can you imagine what they were going through in their hearts after so much intense separation from Krishna, that they finally see their beloved? And what is his response? Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down. Make yourself comfortable. What can I do for you? Oh, my God, there. Hare Krishna. Ah, they must have fainted just by seeing. They overcome with ecstasy. And so Krishna welcomed them, but then all of a sudden, and therefore Krishna has this desire to reciprocate their madhurya, their intimate sweet love, their mamata, their sense of possessiveness. You are mine. And therefore, I will do whatever it is to satisfy you. And etiquette, everything is secondary. So then, Krishna, by that potency of this Leela Shakti, which rules in Vrindavan and moves the pastimes for not the immediate but the ultimate pleasure of the pastime, the ultimate rasa, to bring the rasa, but the affection, to the highest appropriate degree for the relish of Krishna and his devotees, which is the ultimate essence of reality. So the Leela Shakti, somehow or other, creates this mood of Aishwarya where Krishna begins to explain his position to them, and he's saying, yes, it is appropriate that you come here, because those Swartha who know their own benefit, they render unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service directly unto the Father. I am the most dear soul, and it is only by contact with the soul that everything else becomes. Therefore, he starts to preach to them, but then he tells them, and this is the part we're up to, and I got to the part we're up to almost in record time today. He said, you should return. Now, this is amazing. He's now telling them you should return to the sacrificial arena, and you should go back with your husbands and do your duties. And then the wives reply. Now, this is very interesting. Obviously, what Krishna is doing and what the Leela Shakti is arranging is the mood of viraha, or separation, to mature that love. But we'll see. It's going to be, and I went over this point last night, it's going to be different than the gopis, because they actually have to go back home, and the gopis get to stay with Krishna. But at the beginning, in either case, it parallels exactly what Krishna says to the gopis. In either way, either to mature the love, to create, as Gaur Govinda Swami says, to create the embankment of separation, to have the prema flow fully, and have the two banks of union and separation, remove the obstacles to actually having mature love of Godhead, separation is necessary. And in the case of the wives of the Brahmins, as we'll see, they're not at the level of the gopis.
and therefore for their obstacles, their last taint of impurity to be removed. The gopis had no impurity. That was just to increase their praying. Then Krishna in the Lila Shakti is creating that mood of separation. And you can imagine how they feel. Krishna, they flow to Krishna. They defeat the hopes of their whole family to prevent them. They finally see Krishna. He's reciprocating with them. He's welcome. Now he's saying, go back home. And what does that do to their heartfelt desire to be with Krishna, which is the essence of priti? Because priti is the desire to please Krishna and the desire to be with Krishna to please him. Now they can actually have that service to Krishna directly. And they're hankering for that so intensely. And now Krishna says, go back home. And now we're up to the part today where the wives of the Brahmins, they replied, and I'm up to the verse before the one I read today, do not speak such cruel words. What is happening to their affection for Krishna? This is actually a manifestation of the love. This anger or disappointment are part of the emotional components of perfect love that are born from the love, just as waves come from the ocean and they increase the ocean and then they enter back into the ocean. So there are certain emotional experiences that come from our love for Krishna, increase our love for Krishna, and then enter back into that loving feeling to Krishna. These are called Vyabhacharya Sanchari Bhavs. So look at their emotion. Mighty one, do not speak such cruel words. Rather, you should fill your promise. And what does it say? It says, Nigama, the promise given in the revealed scriptures. And what is the promise given in the revealed scriptures? That one who goes to Krishna never has to return to this world. Rather, you should fill your promise. You want to speak from Shastra now. You want to, oh Krishna, take this position of Aishwarya and tell us about your position. Okay, we accept that you're the Supreme Personality of God. Now fulfill your promise. We've come to your lotus feet. Don't kick us away. Now that we've attained your lotus feet, okay, you may not feel that it's appropriate to be with Brahmin ladies. That's okay. Let us stay connected with you in any way. That let us just remain in the forest, and when you get rid of a withered tulsi garland or something, you kick it away from your feet. Let us just have that. Let us be connected with Krishna. And I explained before that this is the mood of a real Vaishnava. He has so much value for Krishna. He has so much value for Krishna and things that are connected with Krishna that even a little contact with the mercy of Krishna is more than he can ever imagine he deserved. See, even a particle of dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is their goal of life. This is real, and this is their humility. I described, I don't know which, because I give another class. Sometimes I may repeat things thinking that I didn't say this before, but this archana paddhati, the step-by-step process of worship, means the Vaishnava prayers are always, they first glorify the object of devotion to the utmost extent, because that's what their heart is. How glorious is Krishna, whether it's his Aishwarya or his Madhurya. Then they look at their own insignificant position and express that. Dainyo Vodika. It's one of the prayers. They express their insignificance. And then they beg. Because they have no qualification and Krishna is merciful. And they have no qualification, no hope. Krishna's merciful hope. And that's one of the symptoms of bhava, asabandha. Bandha means bound. Their hopes cannot be bound. And therefore Prabhupada, see how Prabhupada so deeply translated the Shastras in a relevant word for us. Prabhupada translated, I think he gave asabandha as hope against hope. Your hope cannot be bound. And it pains you. It pains you because look how glorious Krishna is. I have no qualification. I have no ability. I have no adhikari for him. He's merciful. And therefore there's some hope because I have no qualification. I'm the object of mercy. So we see their mood and they express, we're ready to give up anything for your service. That's our goal. And now in today's verse, which they're telling him, now look at their mood. Grinanti na. Naha na. They will not accept. Our husbands will not accept. Our sons will not accept. We have gone, we are from aristocratic families that even the sun does not touch. Prabhupada came from an aristocratic family and he described that his mother, and this was what, 100 years ago, his mother would not go outside unless she was in a palanquin. Just understand the condition, and this is what these are aristocratic Brahmin families. 5,000 years ago, we are from that even the sun doesn't touch. And you were known as licentious Krishna. And we have gone to you. We're worse than the gopis. At least the gopis were from the same family. I mean, if you're going to run away, if you're a Hindu girl and you're going to run away from your family, then at least, you know, go to another Hindu family. At least if you're going to have a love marriage, then, you know, if you're from a Brahmin, then go from a Brahmin family. You know, okay, the gopis ran away. At least they ran away to another gopi. It wasn't like a Hindu ran away and then got married to a Muslim family. This was aristocratic Brahmin lady. And they're like thinking, look at our sacrifice. And now no one will touch us. Everyone will reject us. And how can anyone else be willing to give us shelter now? Therefore, we have thrown ourselves at your, and we have no other destination. O chastiser of the enemies, grant our desire. Chastiser of the enemies, you who remove obstacles. Now remove these obstacles of our aristocratic birth, of our janma. Take away janmaishwarya shruta shribir. Take away the obstacles of our janma, our birth, aishwarya, our wealth, shruta, our knowledge, shribir, our aristocracy. Lord Brahma had the most aristocratic position in the whole universe. The position of Lord Brahma in the universe is aristocratic position. He was the top of the whole universe, the chief of the whole universe. And then, when due to that position, he became bewildered and didn't recognize who his Krishna was and tried to bewilder him. And then when he came back and saw that Krishna manifested, all the cowherd boys, and they were actually Vishnu manifested, he saw the ultimate opulence. Then he prayed, that remove the obstacle of my janma, my high birth as Lord Brahma, the most pious birth in the universe, my aishwarya, controlling the Shruta, the original Vedas are spoken through me. Remove that. And Krishna did. He said, okay, next birth you're born as Haridas Thakur. where all obstacles are removed for ego. Actually, I see that sometimes. I see that sometimes in India, because in Muslim families, in the garden next to me in Vrindavan, there's a new gardener there, and he's from Muslim family. So it's a beautiful garden. It has all flowers, so I go into it, and I have to kind of get his permission. So I went in there. He's a new gardener. The old gardener used to bring the flowers and the tulsi up to my room. So I said, oh, what is your name? And in a very humble way, he said, Islam. You know, I'm a Muslim. Especially in that area, it's all Babaji's. And I said, Muslim, also TK, it's also good. But he was very humble. I saw that. Very, very humble. And Narada Muni, I explained that before, the same, he got the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas. It wasn't because he was self-controlled, disciplined, and had all qualities of Brahma Gan when he was here. So that was there. But the reason why he got the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas, which is what? The Bhaktivedantas taught him the Bhagavatam. That's the mercy of Prabhupada. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada is he gave the Bhagavatam. And it's described, Dina Vatsala, because the saintly people, they're compassionate to those who are Dina, those who are poor. And Prabhupada saw that the ultimate lack of wealth is a lack of realization, not just the lack of money or social position. The ultimate lack, the thing that really causes suffering, is a lack of realization. So the sadhus are really merciful to those who are ignorant and lack of. But the thing about that about Narada Muni is that he was just so humble because he had such a low birth. He didn't have the pride of Janma. And look at the Brahmins. Their whole spiritual life is ruined because they have the pride of Janma, of birth. So here, they destroy our obstacles. And what is their obstacle? Their obstacle is that they're Brahmins and they're not gopis. They're not of the class of Krishna. And that's also our obstacle also. What is our obstacle? Our obstacle is our material designation. And right now in our external designation, we're not of the class of Krishna. And therefore we can't be with Krishna. Even Lord Shiva wanted to be in the Rasa dance. He was not allowed to enter. And what is the class of Krishna? The class of Krishna is pure. Someone got on or something. And everyone, just please check your connections, because one of the connections is bad and it's causing some static. What is his disqualification? His disqualification was what, Lord Shiva? Bhav. What Bhav? Purusha Bhav. Not just that he was a man, but the Bhav that I am the controller that comes with that gender. And actually can come with, and actually we're all, whether we're ladies or men, our problem in the material world is Purusha Bhav. We think we're the controllers. So unless you have pure Prakriti Bhav, that the mood, I want to be enjoyed by Krishna. And we understand that that bhava, that mood of prakriti, of I want to be the servant, I want to be the object to be enjoyed rather than to be the enjoyer of objects. And there's a pure loving personality. Unless you develop that mood of love and service, you can't enter Krishna's pastimes. Because in Vrindavan, there's only one Purusha, actually speaking. There's only one, and actually in reality, there's only one Purusha, the supreme enjoyer, is Krishna. But even Krishna doesn't completely like that position, and therefore he wants to take the position of Prakriti, Srimati Radharani. And therefore, for him to be complete in his enjoyment, he also has to be Prakriti. He also has to be the object of enjoyment. For the he also has to be that. So here they're praying, O chastiser of the enemies, grant our desire. We want to be free of this obstacle, of being from this designation that connects us. And you're the only shelter. And this is the mood of the devotee. The mood of the devotee is that our needs will be fully satisfied in connection with our relationship with Krishna, because our real need is to love and have a worthy object of love. And ultimately, that's the absolute reality. And until we come to that point of a relationship with that absolute reality, we will always feel unfulfilled. And when we feel unfulfilled, we'll always search. If we don't have that full realization that that's our shelter, we'll always search for some other shelter. And on the grossest platform, it'll be a car, a computer, a gigabyte, if I get this upgrade, then that's the need in my heart. If I have this woman, this man, this position. So what we're seeing here in the Bhagavatam, I should mention it, this is getting close again to the Ras Lila, and that's the goal. The goal is to enter the eternal dance of Krishna. So what these chapters are showing philosophically is it's getting to the subtle anarthas, the subtle attachments, which we have to become completely pure. So still, this varaha, Krishna is sending them away, because whatever conception they have, even subtly, and theirs is so minute, even at the stage of bhava, there's traces of anartha due to offenses. That's what separates bhava from prema. There's traces of anartha. So even them, it's so subtle. But yet Krishna and the Leela Shakti is ranging the pastime is actually going to send them back. Because that viraha, or that mood of separation, will remove whatever anartha, whatever is external to Krishna, whatever obstacle there is. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to experience the highest love and give the highest love, spent the last years of his life not only enjoying the highest love, but showing us how to actually worship Krishna to achieve that perfection in the mood of separation. Separation is attachment in another mood, which increases that attachment to the highest degree. So Prabhupada also told us in his simple bhajan siksha that we should chant the holy name in the mood of like a child who is crying for his mother, which is very, very nice, because an excellent teacher has to explain things that are beyond your frame of reference and a frame of reference that you have. What do we know about separation from Krishna? But maybe in this age we may not even know about separation from mother. We may have to come up with new examples. You should cry for Krishna like a person whose computer is broken down and is at the shop and he can't get on email for 3 days. And the two people that are here, actually by coincidence, that are living, that listening to the class today, the people that I know, Madan Mohan from Philadelphia, some of you may know him, and Vraj Kumar, who is runs the Vaishnava Academy that we are staying, or did, they're both in this industry. And even me saying a computer crashed for 2 days, I can see their hearts drop out. And saying, hey, computer, IBM, Gigabyte, hey, where are you? My email. But anyway, the mood of separation. Now we're going to read the purport to this verse. Very beautiful. Listen. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments as follows, quote, "From their very youth, the Brahmins' wives had heard about Lord Krishna's beauty, qualities, and sweetness from the womenfolk of Vrindavan village, and also from the flower ladies, the betel nut sellers, and others." So let's get our ability to remember, because it's our Krishna here, and we're meditating on the Brahmins' wives when they're hearing about Krishna, and they're hearing about Krishna's beauty, and who's describing it? It's the flower ladies. So if you're in Vrindavan, you can imagine. I always, when I think of flowers, I think of America as a third world country, because I'm here in Mayapur, Vrindavan, and you get all these fragrant flowers, and they just grow wild. And in America, it's such a poor country that to buy one fragrantless rose wrapped in plastic, you have to pay 45 rupees. Well, here, for 45 rupees, you can get two huge fragrant garlands of so many flowers. So they're bringing, and this is when you know all the Vrindavan flowers, Julie and Champak, Parijata flowers, and gulab rose, and jasmine, and champak. So they're bringing those flowers. And consequently, they always felt ecstatic love for Krishna and were indifferent to their household duties. It didn't mean they didn't do it. They were indifferent, because that's the highest stage of bhava is not just you get bhakti, which means not just that you're separated from the objects of attachment, that's called vairagya, but vairagya means you're indifferent to them. They're indifferent. Now the wives of the Brahmins were ready to formally reject their so-called families and neighbors. Out of great agitation, they were crying and placing their heads upon Lord Krishna's lotus feet, offering obeisances. In this way, with choking voices, they spoke the above verses. They're speaking. Choked voices, "Do not speak such cruel words. You should fulfill our promise. Our husbands, fathers, sons, how could anyone be willing to give us shelter?" This is all, the emotion is all from their love for Krishna. In this way, with choking, they begged that Krishna bestow upon them the benediction that he be their only destination. Only Krishna. That he, the chastiser of enemies, subdue all their enemies. And what are the enemies? Their obstacles, those difficulties obstructing them from attaining the Lord. Actually, a great part of spiritual life is removing obstacles. And if spiritual life is a step-by-step process, the next step, the distance between where you are and the next step is always an obstacle. And that obstacle always seems insurmountable, otherwise you'd be at the next step. And when you surmount that obstacle, then the next step after that is another obstacle, which is the distance between where you are and the next step. And the only way to remove those obstacles is by service to the Vaishnavas. Okay, one of the mamas with their kids has to mute their phone. Hare Krishna. There you go. And so there's always that next step, and I always describe that story, the Panihati Festival, Raghunath Das Goswami. He couldn't get to Lord Chaitanya by himself, and only when he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda, who gave him the service of the Vaishnavas. Okay. Someone has to mute their phone if I hear the kid, child. Maybe. Okay. So, the wives of the Brahmins simply wanted to serve Lord Krishna. That's all. They just wanted service. And in that regard, I'll repeat some. And I was with Gauri Shantrabhu just before I go. I'll do one more verse today. It was so nice, you know, I told you, we were there and we were doing kirtan in the evening and with Niranjan Swami leading the kirtan, so nice. And I was watching Varsana Maharaj, although he's generally, he told me actually sometimes devotees don't realize the health condition of some of the preachers, that they don't like to exhibit that to others. It's just natural. Even Lord Chaitanya was in so much pain during the day, but he held it back in separation because he didn't want the devotees to be disturbed. But when he was at night, you know, when he was alone laying down, then he no longer could check his pain, and Sri Damodar Ramananda Roy had to pacify him with so many verses and songs. So devotees are like that. They don't want their painful condition to cause others pain. So sometimes we don't know the physical condition of our preachers. And I was talking to Barsana Maharaj, and actually, because I spent a lot of time with him, I realized, really, my God, and we don't know what condition he's in. And the fact that he even can walk around and do something and share his nectar with us is amazing. He told me, that walking for him is like driving an airplane. And he used to be a pilot. You know, it takes so much concentration just for walking. But I saw, you know, he would come in the evenings and he would sit in a chair, and when the kirtan was there, I would just look at him and just see. And when Gaurijan was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita dramatically, he was reading, and Niranjan Swami was doing kirtan in the background, I was looking at him and I was just seeing, like, you know, the degree of absorption, what taste he has for Krishna consciousness. In that mood. But so Gaurijan, you know, he was, you know, somehow he was talking to me. I think, I don't know if I mentioned him, maybe I mentioned it last week, but not. And he was telling me in his realization about what Prabhupada gave so clearly in his own example and passed down the essence of spiritual life, that one is always in the mood of the servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. And I could see, knowing him, because he was also staying in the room next to me, you know, when he has a realization, how much he's trying to cultivate that. To always be that I'm the servant of Prabhupada. And actually always be thinking in those terms. It's a very high internal meditation. And the nature of Krishna consciousness is, therefore, it's not a Sunday process, not a Wednesday and Sunday process. It's not a morning process. It's actually, if one is actually in that mood, that I am a servant of Guru and Krishna, it's a 24-hour process. And that 24-hour process isn't also a process of necessarily renunciation, either. Because to serve Krishna, sometimes you have to keep things to use in Krishna's service. You have to keep things for your own health and even psychological integration. But the consciousness, it's really tested, because it's the consciousness of pure love, and it's an antithetical. Specifically, I can say to myself, growing up in the West, of how I was trained and what was advertised I should be like. And that's why the whole mood of Vaishnavism is for others. And I love the beginning of Bhakti Sandarbha, when Jiva Goswami says, I am writing this for Rupin Sanatan. So everything is for others. So I was saying, you know, Gaurijan, you'd see, just kind of thinking and actually feeling satisfaction and just a servant of Prabhupada. And in one sense, it's taking a very humble position, because it's not, I'm a Mahabhagavat, I'm a Rasika Vaishnav, I'm a huge preacher spreading Krishna consciousness all over the continent. He's just as moodless. And therefore he was thinking, what is my service? You know, he's thinking, maybe my service isn't to be the big acharya, or, you know, the person that conquers continents. But what is my service? And actually being in that position. And that's what the whole Bhagavatam rests on. just this mood of servant. And servant means to be servant, of the Vaishnava. And such a nice consciousness. Now let me read one more verse, and then, now Krishna's going to respond. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Tatayo Nabhyasuyeram, Katri Bhatri Sutadara, Lokascha Ro Mayopeta, Deva Apyanu Mandate. The Supreme Personality replied, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to comment on them, but I'm going to finish the class by reading three verses, because the most significant part comes up now in Krishna's instruction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, rest assured that your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor will your fathers, brothers, sons, other relatives of the general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. I'll comment on this the next class, but I want to read the next verse. For you to remain in my bodily association would certainly not please people in this world, nor would it be the best way for you to increase your love for me. Rather, you should fix your minds on me, and very soon you will achieve me. So Krishna is telling them so wonderfully, this is not the best way for you to increase your love for me. And that's Krishna consciousness. What is the best way for us to increase our love for Krishna? This is not the best way for you to increase your love. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me, and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. So next Wednesday, I will discuss this, but it's such a meditation. If this is the way, it's not by physical proximity, it's by your mood. And therefore, if separation increases the mood, then that will develop the love. And that actually will develop the real union with Krishna. Because union with Krishna is not physical proximity, it's heart. It's heart to heart. It's a condition of the heart. Therefore, this viraha, this separation, is now, he's giving them separation to remove any last small conception of their janma or birth, that I am Brahman, I am married, etc. To give them, remove any last obstacle. He's giving them separation. And therefore, we're separated from Krishna, and we're really separated from Krishna. Because our consciousness is so separated from Krishna. But if we develop some attachment for Krishna, then our separation from Krishna will be favorable because it will cause us to increase our attachment.